Yes, sir. You already know what time it is. You already know what is going on. I am your host, Cam Silver.
I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast. Now, Kyle, I guess we'll start off with what's going on in football. So, the NFL Draft Combine is this weekend, coming up this weekend. Guys like Caleb Williams, Danny Daniels, and Drake May have not decided on throwing yet. Mm-hmm. Don't expect them to.
I don't expect them to either.
Others have, Michael Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy. Those guys will be throwing that I've seen. Marvin Harrison Jr. won't be doing any of the workouts either. Mm-hmm. For most of the top five, top 10 guys you always see, they're not really going to. They're not gonna do anything. They're really just going there for medicals and for interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they're not doing much else. But yeah, just basically showing face and answering a bunch of random questions.
Random questions about what the team might get for you and whatever and whatnot.
Correct.
Like you said, it's a lot. Those top 5 to 10 guys don't really ever do the combine. Not surprised by it, just because it's not anything. They got tape to rely on.
Exactly, they have the most tape, and there's no reason for me to go out there. Like, you already see what I could do, and then if you still don't believe it, then guess what? You'll more than likely see them at their pro day.
Exactly.
This is more so for the guys that go on day 2, day 3. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out a way to push themselves up in the on that list of whatever list that. They put together.
Mm-hmm.
But in other news, so apparently the New York Jets believe that their former player, wide receiver Mecole Hardman, had leaked team game plans to Kansas City and to Philadelphia before those games that they played this season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a little bit of a shaky news that's coming through right there.
That's huge.
Because, as a player, you can't be doing that, brother, at all. No matter, I don't care how salty you are at the organization or not, if you feel like you were mentally checked out or not, you can't. There's certain things that go with the integrity of sports and the integrity of, holding your team. And I can understand, if you're not, if the team is telling you things, but they're not, being 100% honest with you. Or I could tell, if maybe you weren't doing your end of the bargain.
Right.
Which, let's just face it, Mecole Hardman was,
He wasn't all that great there. Yeah. I feel like that kind of also went and coincided with, I guess Aaron Rodgers being hurt too.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, they were like, all right, well, we don't know what we're really going to do with our vets. We might as well just let the young guys do what they got to do. But, like you said, the name, the word right there was integrity that you said right there. It's just, just integrity to sports all around. You're not supposed to do nothing crazy like that.
Exactly.
We don't have no hardcore evidence that it did happen, but apparently several players, including guys like Sauce Gardner, Kenny Yeboah, those guys are saying that he was more than likely the leak.
Wow.
Which is crazy to me, because they didn't lose. It's not like they lost to Kansas City by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That was a close game, and then they won against the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's weird to me.
I know, right? Yeah, that's why I was like,
some type of math right there doesn't add up.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. 2 + 2 is not equaling 4,
mm-mm,
as we always like to say.
No, not at all. Not at all. But then also, the what's it called? So the NFLPA does report cards, and the Jets ranked 21st overall, C- for their locker room.
Oh.
D- for treatment of families, C- for food and cafeteria, B+ for nutritionists. Training room, C-, training staff, C, weight room, B-, strength coaches, B-, team travel, C, head coach, B, ownership, B-.
All the things that have to do with, the training facilities and stuff, I'm really not surprised that they're getting a D and a C- and C's. If you've been to MetLife. If you've been to MetLife, brother.
If you've been to MetLife, yes, then you know already that.
Nah, wait, quick sidebar. Mm. We got the World Cup coming to MetLife, in a couple years.
That's something that we've talked about before, off camera, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I thought about too. I'm like,
I just want to say, I just find it real funny how it said that, like, you know, internet be going crazy. They said, oh, what a great idea, bringing the most expensive ACLs to MetLife Stadium. And I was like, they're not wrong. They're not that hard turf that we got over there in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Stephen A. like to call it the swamp. Come on now,
look,
bro.
If you've ever been in there, it's like a big. It's just bad in there. Like, I don't even have a word for it.
The facilities are just outdated.
It's weird because it's not like it's old, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's somewhat, like, it's not like it's new.
Yeah.
But it's still, it should be more modern than it is.
They could do some renovations.
Yes.
They could do some renovations. Mm-hmm. I say all that to say that report card, those rankings make complete and total sense.
Let's go to, you want to know what? As a matter of fact, we might as well do it. Let's go to the Giants. Now, the Giants.
Oh, it's getting, oh, goodness. Why you got to embarrass me like this, bro?
Nah, the Giants overall were eighth.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Overall, they ranked eighth. So C in treatment of families, B with food and cafeteria, C-plus in nutritionist, dietitian, a locker room with C-plus, training room, B, training staff, A-minus, weight room, a B, strength coaches, B-plus, team travel, B-plus, head coach, A-minus, ownership, B-plus.
All comes down to Brian Daboll right there. That's what that tells me.
That's culture.
That's what that tells me. For real.
Yeah, no. They.
How y'all got the same facilities, but you know what I'm saying? Somebody getting a higher grade. Then.
I'm guessing that it's not, I guess, you know, like the training facilities, because they do train in different places. I mean,
understandable.
You know,
understandable.
Stadium,
yeah.
But, you know, like, mm-hmm. I think
they have their own, like, two separate facilities.
Correct. Because I know the Jets are in Florham Park.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget where the Giants are, though. I think the Giants are right next to MetLife.
Giants aren't that far off from MetLife. No. Yeah. Literally, it's like a walking distance type of thing.
I was about to say, like, they can literally just walk across the street and they're at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, I don't know. It's just different cultures.
Yeah.
Literally different cultures.
Absolutely.
But like you said, that's a testament to Ryan Daboll and what he can do and what he has done and what I believe he will continue to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He should keep his head coaching position.
He should keep his head coaching position and they should draft another quarterback.
I'm 1,000% behind it. Just throw Daniel Jones' contract down the window. Throw it down the toilet. I don't care.
And the funny thing is, for me personally, I don't feel like you could really go wrong with almost any quarterback in this draft, if we're really being honest.
Not at all.
But we'll get into that.
We definitely got to get into, like, you know, the Mel Kiper's, like, mock draft and stuff like that.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yo, we
got to dedicate like a whole episode for them for that one.
Oh yeah, we most definitely will. I think closer to like when March Madness is like about to end.
Because those mock drafts always be moving and stuff.
What?
Constantly.
Change constantly. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the NBA.
Word.
LeBron last night.
Dude. Wednesday night, Bron. Ooh.
It's funny. I got on break last night around the time I think I got into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, well, they're down by 20. I'm not really going to pay attention to this.
Yeah.
And plus, I've been so like lasered in on college basketball lately that I've kind of shut out the NBA almost as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously, I know it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
I get into the car. Next thing you know, they're like, Lakers are down by 10. Okay. All right. That's cool. The Lakers are down by 5. All right. What in the world is
going
on?
What y'all doing? What are y'all doing right now?
Come to find out, Bron is losing his mind. He's dropping
quite literally.
Like, literally lost his mind. He just kept hitting three after three after three. And then when I start watching the game, I think it's still around like 2-3 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand the Clippers defense at that time. Why in the world are you doubling Bron at the top of the key when he literally has the rest of the half court
to operate?
So you know how his brain works. Like, he's going to see everything 10 steps before you even do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As soon as the double team comes, guess what he's doing? He's passing it out to the open man. D'Lo's funny now. D'Lo catches the ball above his head, and as soon as it hits his hand, it's right back out of his hand.
It's not even arm motion no more. He's relying strictly on the hand.
It's the most textbook way to shoot a basketball. It's what they teach you.
Textbook catch and shoot way.
It's literally what they teach you when they say catch and shoot. Mm-hmm. Don't bring the ball down to your waist. Don't do none of that. Mm-mm. As soon as you get it, just put it right back up, and that's what he did. And
he's been doing it for a couple of games.
And he's nothing but the bottom too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. D'Lo doing his thing right now, for real, and he has to continue to keep doing his thing if they want to at least make it out to play in.
Oh yeah,
they're ninth right now, and I think they're like three games out of being in eighth place.
Correct,
if I'm not mistaken. Correct.
And they have a weird schedule that they have coming up. Like they have tough teams, but they're at home though.
They don't got to leave the state of California for the next month.
Mm-mm.
That's
a blessing.
That is a gift wrap if I've ever seen one for a guy like Bron in his 39th year, 21st season. Come on now.
That's a big time blessing for them. You know, they no travel or anything like that. You just chill out.
Mm-hmm.
While most teams, you know, like teams like Brooklyn, you know, they're not gonna be home because the first and second round of the March Madness tournament are literally at the Barclays, so they can't be home for like a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's good for them. Like Bron outscored the Clippers 19-16 in the fourth quarter by himself, which was awesome. And then also he was responsible for, I want to say, 8 more points in that fourth quarter alone. So technically, he basically put up 30 almost by himself in that quarter.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
AD had a good night, a quiet night, but a good night. 20 points and 12 rebounds. Kawhi at the end got the shot that he wanted.
He just couldn't hit it.
Yeah, he couldn't get the ball over top. Bron just. He did what he's supposed to do. Got a hand in his face. Kawhi's jump shot was short, and Lakers ended up taking it. But this says a lot more about. Who do you think it says a lot more about? I feel like, for me, it says a lot more about the Clippers.
I was gonna say the same thing, actually.
That they, you know, that close is. That's very iffy now.
A lot of turnovers going down in the whole game, not just the fourth quarter, in the entire game.
Yeah.
James Harden looking a little like stumbly, which is like that. It's like, you know, okay, shout out to James. He's played every game that he's been with the Clipper, and he's been going nuclear. He's been doing his thing. However, we've seen this before. For that regular season, he's one of the greatest players ever. But then, as soon as the postseason comes, I need you to do this more in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
When your life is on the line, not in the regular season.
Your legacy is on the line, and I guess that's the reason why he's on a team like this.
Exactly.
Cement his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But
they got this, and I would argue that this is probably one of their best opportunities to do it.
Oh yeah, I think it's their. Really being honest with you, I think it's really their only. That's their only. You know, it's their last. It's their last games in Staples Center before they open up the new one.
They gotta get a chip before opening night and in your new arena. Like that should be enough of a driving force. Like that would be insane,
dude. I used to tell people the real reason why the Clippers aren't gonna win one is because they're not in their own arena.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was my biggest thing. They're not in their own arena. They don't.
You gonna hang banners in the Lakers arena? At Crypto?
They don't
Come
even have banners to hang.
Exactly. There. Exactly.
They literally cover the Lakers banners with banners of literally their players. they don't have This is for real.
That's a shame. I'm not with it.
No.
But, I mean, I don't know, man. I think they'll still, like, get within those, like, that top, like, 3-4 seed. But it's just all going to be about who you come down to playing in the play-in.
Yeah.
Because LeBron and them be it. Like, what if they are 8? What if they are 7?
Because they're 2 games behind Sacramento, which they're in 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas is... You know, they're 2.5 games behind Dallas, who's in the 7th right now. And then both Phoenix and New Orleans are tied up right now for that 5th and 6th spot, basically. So
I'm just like, it'll be crazy to see if, like, you know, Minnesota, OKC, they stay within top 2. And like I said, the Lakers get 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Like, because that's a way better matchup for them than getting a Phoenix first round, than getting a Denver first round.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Or even a Clipper first round.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. You're still going to have to go through the Warriors, though, and then maybe Dallas. depending on, you know,
depending on
how they do and whatnot.
Correct. Because, you know, Sacramento's been very iffy.
Sacramento's been up and down really bad. Really bad.
They've been a team where I kind of deflected off of them for a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, they'll figure it out. But right now, we're getting to that because we're in March. So right now, it's like...
It's supposed to be turn-up time.
Yeah.
And this is what they were doing last... I mean, this is not what they were doing last year.
Yeah.
Last year, they were getting hot.
Yeah.
They were hot.
Yeah.
You know?
But now they have to figure out how to do that thing again,
mm-hmm.
which is... Which we both know is a hard
yes.
thing to do.
Yes.
Very hard thing to do.
Yes. I agree.
Oh, but anyway, let's see. We can start breaking down some of these college conferences.
Word.
So, let's start off with UConn. Like I've been saying, basically, since college basketball started this year, UConn, I feel like, is my number one team. You know, they took a loss to, who was that, Creighton last week.
Creighton.
You know, dropped them in the AP polls, but, you know, obviously they're still going to be one of the number one seeds. No doubt about it. Led by Tristan Newton, who is the only active player with 4 triple-doubles. Yeah, 4. He's tough. He's one of them ones. He collects it all.
Mm-hmm.
15 points per game, 6.7 rebounds with 5.8 assists per game. The dude is everything. You got Donovan Clingan and Samson Johnson down there on a down low. Both 7-footers. They can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, really good. Both good at more so Samson Johnson, a little better at protecting the rim. But I'm very excited to see what UConn can do, how they can finish off this year strong. Marquette, there's another team that's really looking good. Tyler Colek, he's a really good, really good player.
Mm-hmm.
He can shoot it well. He's shooting 48% from the field, 15 points per game right now. They got bum rushed by UConn the other day, but that's still a top 10 team easily.
Easily.
Creighton, another team that I say watch out for. They're really good.
Good record. Yeah.
I feel like they used all their powers against UConn. That's how they came up short against St. John's. But that's a team right there to really look out for. Steven Ashworth is a really good point guard, averaging 11.4 assists per game with Brian Cockbrenner at the middle of the 7-footer, 7 points. 17 points per game with 6 boards, and he gets in a couple blocks too.
Mm.
Seton Hall and Providence are both bowl teams right now, but they should be on their way to doing good things. Providence, if they could finish off strong, they could steal one from Nova on Saturday, get the win against Georgetown Wednesday. They can go into the Big East tournament comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they finish off the season against UConn, so we'll see what happens there. Seton Hall, another one. I really like this team. I like Kadari Richmond. That kid can go. If he could develop a long range shot, he could be really good on the next level. But for right now, those twos, man, he gets into the paint, he can get to the mid range, he can pull up and get right over you. He averages also 5 assists, and he gets 2 steals per game. They have 2 other guards who are averaging 13 a game, and both Alamir Dawes and Dre Davis, really good players. Jaden Biakado, averaging 8.7 points per game with 7.5 rebounds. He's their big man in the middle. So Seton Hall, that's a team that I would say if they could figure out how to muster up some of that magic that they had in the beginning, because they were beating, you know, UConn, they were beating a couple other big-time teams in the beginning. If they could figure out how to get some of that magic back, they could make a run for sure. But, yeah, no, the Big East has always been one of my favorite.
I like the Big East Conference as well, yeah.
Always been one of my
top,
favorite.
Those top 4 teams, like, they all have chances.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, easily. Going to the Big Ten, Purdue, Zach Edey, we already
them
know
boys,
about.
But not them boys, but them boys.
Exactly. That's literally.
That's the best explanation.
That's literally who they are. Them boys, but they not them boys.
But they them boys.
But they them boys. But as of right now, they have the top overall number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how long that lasts. If you don't know, the top overall number one seed actually gets the choice of pick of where they get to play in the region.
Oh, wow.
So if they want to be in the East, they can be in the East, you know, the West, yada, yada, yada. I would expect them, as a matter of fact, I believe I would expect them to be in the Midwest, if I'm not mistaken.
I could see Midwest.
Depending on, because the Midwest would be, yeah, the Midwest would be in Detroit. Mm. The East is going to be in Boston.
Mm.
So I would see Purdue picking the Midwest, as UConn would be in the East for mm. Boston. Houston will probably pick South.
Because
they'll be in Dallas. Yeah. And then Arizona and Los Angeles.
Southwest, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, Purdue, really good team, obviously. You know, Zach Edey, the man in the middle. Lance Jones is a really good athletic guard on the wing. He can shoot the three, can get to the basket, plays really good defense. Like Brandon Smith, he's really doing his thing. He can shoot the three, also really good from mid-range. He's also averaging 7.2 assists per game with 12.8 points per game.
Mm.
Biggest thing for Purdue is, honestly, their guards just have to come to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the biggest thing for the last couple of years. Their guards just been getting outworked. One thing that I have noticed about Zach Edey, I've always wondered if Zach Edey ever did the mic and drills. Because if you really look, no, this is I'm being for real. Like, I'm being for real. If you get a chance to watch Zach Edey, watch him. He brings the ball low.
Too low.
You're 7'4".
Hey, this is it. This is it, literally.
You're 7'4". There's no reason for you to bring the ball down to mm-hmm. your waist. If you bring the ball down to your waist, that's an open invite for me to come in and snatch
mm-hmm.
that. That's why he turns the ball over a lot. That's why, you know, he always looks a little discombobulated down there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that's why. That's a legit question. Does he really do, you know, those big man drills that, you know, that I know. Shoot, I got taught a lot.
Yeah,
of big
I
man
mean, I did too. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. But other than that, like I said, Purdue, top overall number one team. They, if they lose, they really beat themselves at mm-hmm. this point. Wisconsin, they were a team that was really good for a minute. Now mm-hmm. that they fell off a little bit, they've been kind of getting themselves back together. They've been 2-2 lately, but we'll see. AJ Storr is the person leading the team, 60 points per game, really good. I like Tyler Wall a lot too. He's averaging around like 11, 12 points per game. So is Steven Crowell, another good big man down there. But they have a chance to boost their resume. They have Illinois and Purdue coming up as two of their last three. So they could really boost their resumes up there, and Rutgers actually plays them as well.
Okay.
Michigan State, they lost their last two against Iowa and Ohio State.
Ooh.
Not looking too good right there. They're still in the tournament, so nothing to really panic about, but it's something to look after.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson Walker, he's someone I talked about last year. He was like my favorite point guard last year. Now it's Jamal Shedd. But he averages 18 points per game. Malik Hall, really good on the wing. He's averaging 12.9 points with 5.4 rebounds per game. A.G. Hoggard, 11 points with 5 assists per game. Like I said, they're up and down. But they got Purdue, Northwestern, and Indiana to wrap up the season. So they could win. They could somehow, some way win the last two out of three.
Yeah.
They could go in a little more comfortable mm-hmm. and plus probably raise themselves in the tournament
mm-hmm.
as well. Nebraska, I like this team a lot too. They've been on a roll. Won their last four.
Ooh, okay.
And now I say the games that they really need to win are against Ohio State and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Being that both those are quad one and quad two games.
Mm-hmm.
The quad, yes, the net rankings are still here. Everybody, those don't look to go anywhere. Those are big into
mm-hmm.
how, you know, we get the seedings
mm-hmm.
more so. Instead of, like, the AP polls. The AP polls really just look at who you played and, like, whether you won or not, mm-hmm. basically. But, yeah, no, that's why you see, you know, in the AP poll right now, like, we'll go to the AP poll right now. If you go there, as long as I can find it. As long as I could find it. But, if you go to the AP poll rankings, you go to a team like Houston. Houston right now is number one.
No,
but
yeah.
They have Purdue as the top overall number one seed.
Mm.
But that's because Purdue technically has the better overall resume. You know, and that's all about just your quad one and quad twos, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically, like, who you won against. Like, Tennessee. Tennessee right now is ranked fourth. But most people have them ranked on the number two line. Instead of being up in that number one line,
mm-hmm.
the team that's on the number one line right now is Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of that.
So many shifts and movements.
Shifts, movements. There's a lot of mismatching and things mm-hmm. of that nature. But they're all always going to coincide with each other. They're always going to be about the same, mm-hmm. but not exactly.
Not
the
same. Exact, yeah.
But, yeah, this is we're in the final stretch right now. Basically,
there we are.
To go. at college basketball. I am extremely excited because I've just been literally just been hawking college basketball for like the past couple weeks.
I'm trying to gear up, yo.
Literally the past couple weeks. I'm excited for that. Going to women's basketball. Kaitlyn Clark, bro.
Yeah, she's like what, like 51 points away?
Something like that from
the
D1
all-time scoring record.
Yeah.
Pistol Pete Maravich. Pistol Pete. And she about to eclipse that. Easy shmoney.
I haven't heard Pistol Pete's name in a minute.
Me either. When I seen it on a little ticker at the bottom of ESPN, and I was like, there's no way. That girl is nice, man. Wait, real quick. We got to talk about this court storming stuff. I did want to talk to you quick.
Yeah. So for those who didn't see it, Duke had lost to Wake Forest Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously what happens when, you know, you beat a big, you know, top 10, top 15 or whatever, especially a team like Wake Forest who hasn't beaten a top ranked team in a long time. Mm-hmm. But you're going to do, obviously, the kids court storm. Kyle Filipowski ended up getting injured in the court storm. Thank God he didn't get injured enough to, you know, miss a game or anything like that. He came back and played against Louisville the other night. But, this is something that was very big over the weekend, something big Monday, kind of Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously died down a little bit. But, let's...
I just wanted to say, I just find it crazy how many people are, like, so, like, against the court storming, but then, like, are the same people that, like, that have before, like... in some way, shape, or form, probably, like, praised it or, like, praised, you know, the team and then, like, okay, like, oh, my God, we love the court storming. Look at all the kids. This is the optics that we love of it. I feel like a lot of people want it both ways. If their team wins, they're okay with the court storming. If their team loses, then they're not okay with it. And then, on the other side of that, it's like, okay, the players come first. The players always come first.
Yeah.
You cannot be, like... He's like 7 foot tall, Kyle Filipowski. Mm-hmm. How do you miss him? And then how do you like intentionally run into him? Like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
I'm not gonna say he's intentionally running into him, but like,
I'm just saying, you never know. But you never know. Number one, because like it is a sea of people. But then also too, I don't like how like the players have to be scared. Like the losing team has to be scared of like being hurt if they do lose a game. Like, you know, especially if you're a big rank too.
For me personally, they just have to have a plan in place. Like, it's not, you're not going to stop court storming. Like you said, we love the optics of it. Mm-hmm. We love the, you know, the pictures of it. You know, oh my God, you know, such and such just went down. Mm-hmm. You know, David just beat Goliath, basically. Mm-hmm. That's all that is. And we just love the court storming. We just love, you know, all of that stuff. Interesting, because even the Wake Forest coach said that he hates it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the coaches hate it.
And a lot of the coaches don't like it.
And I would say rightfully so, because that's not the place for students to be. That's not, you know what I mean? That's not your place. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I could side with both. I would side with both more so, you know, with...
There's pros and cons to both. Yeah.
And we're not going to be able to stop it, and it is what it is. But, you know, they, like I said, they just have to have a plan in place, you know, for security. Be like, hey, look, if you guys end up winning this game, this is what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to do like a 30-second, 45-second, you know, rundown before, you know, have the crowd jump and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Play some good music or whatever, have the crowd jump in. Then after that, once the lines are done, once the handshake line is done, after
then
that, you know what I mean? Once the visiting team can get off, after that, you know, then we let them on.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's gonna be something, bro. It's gonna take until somebody truly, truly gets hurt.
It's sad that it has to take a catastrophic event to do it.
It is, but
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting topic.
Oh yeah.
That should be like brought up and approached.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it was something that, you know, totally like lost my mind. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when we were getting to the midst of everything, but. Got through another week, everybody. Appreciate you guys for joining in on us. You already know what time it is. I'm your host, Kent Silver.
I'm your host, Kyle Silver.
We'll be back next week. Later, everybody.
Peace.